This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Hello there. It is a wonderful All-Star Sunday here in the Bay Area. The stars are out, even though it's daytime today. Long-awaited All-Star Sunday night. It is officially here. We were all enthralled by the competition of All-Star Saturday night last night. And, of course, we had the Rising Stars Challenge on Friday. It's been a very action-packed weekend of sports. Got Daytona 500 going on right now. The NHL's Four Nations Face-Off. That's been popping off. And speaking of popping off, Chinatown last night for the Chinese New Year celebration. That was also popping off. So Sam Lubman here on this very special edition of Sunday afternoon sports talk on 95.7 The Game as we get ready for the NBA All-Star Game this evening. So good afternoon to everybody out there. Good afternoon to our guy on the board, Cam Williams, pressing all the buttons today, making sure that we are on air. Good afternoon to all the security personnel and stadium vendors who are working a lot of overtime this weekend, making sure this event goes smoothly. And shout out to all the city workers going to have to clean up everything. That's a tough job, but shout out to them and all the work they are doing. And of course, the biggest hello is for my co-host today, Dan Devone. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. So you think it's action-packed? I think
I might be over-embellishing a little bit.
Well, I think that for the sports star fanatic, today is tough. It's tough. What other day is there? I mean, this is it, right? There's no baseball.
Nope.
There's no football. There's no NBA scheduled basketball games until tonight. Like, how the hell did they get through this afternoon? You can only watch so much pickleball. I get the Daytona. It's a little niche. I think you and I might be the only ones here at 95.7 The Game that are into hockey. Big victory, as you pointed out, by USA over the Canadians. But we're here for you. We're here for you. For those of you that have had the shakes, the night sweats trying to get through this afternoon, time to talk a little sports.
Well, yeah, I mean, I say it is action-packed. There's so much going on this weekend, Dan. I'm not going to say that, like, the whole sports world has descended on the Bay Area, but it is really cool to see the entire NBA kind of have its eye here on our region. And I do like how it is a regional all-star weekend this weekend, as that, you know, they're, you know, doing events at Chase Center, but also using Oracle Arena. They had the All-Star practice there yesterday, the Legends and Celebrity game, Team Jerry versus Team Barry. I believe it was Team Barry came out on top of that.
Who's
one?
Team Barry? Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds,
oh,
yeah. Gotcha. Jerry Rice versus Barry Bonds. So got a couple Bay Area goats there. And so they had their squads of celebrities square off on Friday night. I watched some of it, did not watch all of it. The celebrity game, that's always kind of... I don't know, maybe this is a sign that I'm at the ripe old age of, what am I, 32 now? When I start seeing so many celebrities, I'm like, who the heck is this person? Like, that's a scary feeling there.
I don't think the celebrity game And I also got to add bigger expectations for the Rising Stars. Kind of underwhelming. Now, listen, I'm in on the Rising Stars being part of this new format.
Yeah.
Now, I might be one of one, but I'm on board with anything that potentially can infuse some renewed energy or competition in what has been a really dreadful exhibition that has just been mailed in over the last 10 years. So I appreciate and I applaud the NBA for trying to shake it up, and we'll see. We'll see in a matter of hours how this goes down, but I'm really on board with the Rising Stars. I don't think that the OGs are really motivated to change things, like, you know, shaking their cane at the, you know, at the clouds. We're going to change all these old kids, man. We're going to teach them a lesson. And I don't think the kids are like, no, this is an opportunity for us to go up against the OGs and really sort of, this is a chance for us to shine. Like, I don't think that's the motive. And I don't think the international team is sitting there with Charles Barkley going, we must represent our country. This is opportunity for us. I don't know what the hell that was.
Putin suiting up tonight.
I think when they all get on the floor, it's just going to be all stars. Like, those guys are just going to intermix, and you can't distinguish one from the other. And they're going to be what they are, which is just, hey, dude, we're making a lot of money, and this is just a business trip for a couple of days. The only outlier and the chance we have, love, are the kids, because the kids don't belong here.
The kids, they got to save. So the kids have to save the weekend, basically.
The Rising Stars, who don't know that this is just a show. It's an entertainment. It's a long weekend respite for the rest of us. They don't know that this is just entertainment. For them, it's an opportunity to win a game and make a name for themselves.
Oh, you'd say make a name for himself. That's that great way to put it. A guy who started making a name for himself last night, he'll be part of the Rising Stars team playing tonight. Stephon Castle came in second in that dunk contest last night behind Mac. They're calling him the White Kangaroo McClung after he won his third straight slam dunk contest, this time for the Orlando Magic. I don't know what teams he was on the last 2 years, but
he's not on the team.
He's in the G League, which is just, and we'll get into the dunk contest, into All-Star Saturday night as well later on in this show. We want to hear from you though. 888-957-9570. Just how you're feeling about this All-Star weekend. What do you like about the All-Star game? What do you need to see fixed about the All-Star game? There's certainly a lot there. No All-Star event, I think, has gone through as many format changes in the last few years as the NBA All-Star. Dan, it used to be, once upon a time I was a kid, you could, you know, it's back in, you know, the mid-2000s, you see Kobe and Shaq and Duncan and Melo and all these, you know, J. Kidd and Nash and all these other great legends from my childhood put on this just incredibly high-scoring but also very competitive All-Star competitions. You know, I was just, the other day I was watching highlights from the 2010 All-Star game. I believe that was at Jerry World in Dallas. The largest All-Star game attendance ever. Over 100,000 people were there, because obviously you're having in that giant stadium down there, AT&T Stadium out in Big D. And it came down to the last shot. I think, you know, the USA, the East won, I think 137-136. And Carmelo Anthony, then for the Denver Nuggets, missed the last shot there. Dwayne Wade went off there in that fourth quarter. And that was a very competitive game. And you don't see that as often anymore. There's lots of reasons why it got to this point. The money got so big for these guys. The risk of injury got so big for these guys. But I don't see that as an excuse. But this year, the NBA is once again doing a different All-Star game format. They have broken up the All-Stars into four different teams, each led by a member of the NBA on TNT crew. You got Shaquille O'Neal, a.k.a. Shaq's OGs, with LeBron, Steph, Tatum, KD, Dame Lillard, James Harden, Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving, and, of course, the injured Maverick, not Laker, Maverick, Anthony Davis. Kenny Smith, he's going with the young guys, which I kind of like. Here you got Anthony Edwards, Jalen Brunson, Jaren Jackson Jr. of the Grizzlies, Jalen Williams of the Thunder, Darius Garland from the Cavs, and Evan Mobley of the Cavs. Mobley coming out on top of the skills challenge, so he is very good at passing a ball through a hoop on a court. That's what you like to see.
Draymond is not, apparently.
Oh, well, That was just really bad. Draymond coming up short and the Cavs winning. Oh, it's like 2016 all over again.
How about San Antonio getting DQ'd?
That was another funny one. Yeah, well, I'll get to these rosters in a second, but Victor Wembanyama, he teamed up with Chris Paul, and they just completely cheated on that skills competition there. So Chris Paul teaching young stars all the bad things.
Well, no. So apparently, it was Wembanyama's idea.
Oh, okay.
So Wemby was the brainchild behind all of this. And apparently,
and Chris Paul just went with it.
He approached Chris Paul and said, hey, I found a little loophole here. It's all about the timing, so let's not worry about the shot. So everybody went after Chris Paul. But after further investigating, apparently it was the young fella, Wemby, who decided that he wanted to sort of didn't read the fine print in the contract, apparently.
Oh, this is a whole new layer to the story here. You see, we're so quick to blame Chris Paul for everything, but
he can still blame him. It's Chris Paul.
Yeah, right? It's obviously Chris. I just think it's fine to say this, you know, after the year we had with Chris Paul last year. Like, I'm kind of okay with Chris Paul now.
Yeah, no,
it's weird. A year ago, I would have been like, oh, he stinks. Yeah, get this guy out of here. That's classic Chris Paul. Now it's just like, that's kind of funny.
But didn't it seem like it was so Chris Paul-esque initially? Like, that's so you.
What the heck with these rules, you know? Like,
trying to overthink it. Like, how do we beat this? You know, just play the game. But as it turns out, it was the Frenchman.
Of course. Always blame the French.
Right, you frog.
Victor Wembanyama, he is on Chuck's team, Charles Barkley. He went with all the international players. So we'll have Nikola Jokic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Pascal Siakam, Alperen Sengun, Karl-Anthony Towns, Donovan Mitchell, and Trae Young, replacing the injured Giannis. And, of course, we're talking about these rising stars. Stephon Castle, obviously on that team, which was led by Candace Parker. She didn't really get to draft a team. She was just kind of given a team. But yeah, you got Stephon Castle, Ryan Dunn of the Suns, Zach Edey of the Grizzlies, Keontae George of the Utah Jazz, Dalton Knecht of the Los Angeles Lakers, not the Charlotte Hornets, the Los Angeles Lakers. Remember, that trade did
not go
through.
Depends on what week it is.
Exactly, yeah, we'll see. And then Jalen Wells of the Memphis Grizzlies, and of course, the hometown kid, Trayce Jackson Davis. He will also be on the court tonight. And I believe, Dan, the young stars will play in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it works is there's going to be three games played tonight. The first game will be between Team Kenny and Team Chuck. That will tip off at around 5:20. And the winner of that one, the first team to score 40 points, will win. They will play the winner of the second game between Team Shaq, which has Steph on it, and Team Candace, which has our boy TJD on it. The winner of that one will face the winner of the first game in the third period or whatever, and that is how your All-Star game will be taking place tonight. So, yeah, how do we it's another format change. How are we feeling about this format here, Dan?
I have a way to save all of this.
Ooh,
All-Star weekend. Should I save it? Should I keep this bullet in the chamber?
Why not? Did Dan save the All-Star game 11 minutes into our show? Let's do it.
I can always repeat it if we run out of material.
That's true. You know, there's new people listening.
All right, everybody gather around. This
all right.
Is it. Are you ready?
We need a drum roll here. I don't know what the drum roll drops.
It may take a little while, and if I get long-winded, just, you know, feel free to interject.
I'll sit back. I'll drink some water. Send a text.
So, and I actually stole a lot of this. I pilfered this. I was reading an article in The Ringer, and I forgot to mention this yesterday in Warriors This Week with Evan.
You did your own research.
So, you know, I have a bit of a WWE background, right? I once upon a time made the mistake of signing a contract with Vince McMahon and trying to make millions of dollars and going out that way to the East Coast and Stamford, Connecticut, in the compound. And when I first signed with WWE, I remember Will Steger, the guy who brought me in, formerly of ESPN, he said, keep in mind that Vince McMahon might be a lunatic between you and I, but he's a genius. He is the P.T. Barnum of today's entertainment and taking the WWE and marketing. And how does he do it? It's all about the element of surprise. Like, that's where the secret sauce is made when it comes to the WWE. For example, I'd be doing one of the, before I got out of that situation, I was doing a match in St. Louis, and I'll never forget it. It was like CM Punk had this running feud with John Cena. Hey, Cam, if we can find any John Cena theme music. And so CM Punk is mixing it up with somebody in the ring, but he hated John Cena. Cena wasn't even part of any of this. Like, if you bought a ticket to go to this event in St. Louis, you did not see John Cena in the rundown. You're buying a ticket to see whomever.
It's very hard to see John Cena in general, so that sounds about right.
All of a sudden, of course, this is scripted. You hear the theme music. What? John Cena, ladies and gentlemen, is here out of nowhere. John Cena comes running out of the tunnel, into the ring, goes after CM Punk, and the place goes nuts. So as I'm watching Steph Curry...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
In street clothes, because I mean, it's the 3-point contest, it's at home. I'm like, really? He's not gonna there. Thank you very much. Crank that. I was waiting for this last night. Like, at some point, this is what they got to do. Sam, stay with me. So, you can turn it down a little bit. You can't drown me out, Cam. So, but you can keep it going. Thank you. So, at the 3-point shooting contest, it's a bit meh, right? You know, Tyler Hero, Buddy Hield was a good story. But there was Steph in street clothes. What they needed to do was turn down the lights, spotlight him, and the TNT crew maybe could be on it, maybe not. he starts to take off his jacket, and people are like, whoa, 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 what's going on here? Oh, my God, Steph has entered the three-point contest. Here comes Steph. And Steph walks to the corner, picks up a rack, and says, let's go, Tyler Hero. What would Chase Arena have done last night?
Oh, they would have blown the roof off.
Now let me ask you another one. Mac McClung, right? Before he goes back to Cedar Rapids or whatever AA affiliate he belongs to, he's the slam dunk. What if the theme music and all of a sudden, is that Anthony Edwards? Oh, my God, Ant-Man! Out of nowhere, here comes Ant-Man! What would Kenny Smith be doing on the mic?
Oh, they'd be losing their minds.
And what would the crowd be doing? Do I have to single-handedly save the damn All-Star Weekend?
And you see, I think that's what makes these All-Star Weekends fun. It's like, yeah, there is a spectacle to it. There is a pageantry to it. Like, it's not a real basketball game. You know, like, I feel like that's the problem. People look at this and think it should be treated like a real basketball game in the same way that Major League Baseball treats its All-Star game like a real baseball game. You can't do that. Like, the NBA, it is a show. You know, let's lean into it. That's what, you know, the great late Jerry Buss, he understood that. It's not just coming here to watch an event. There is a show to put on. There is a spectacle. You want to be able to draw the audience in and show them something that they just never really seen before. And, you know, that's kind of what's great about, like, with what we do here in live radio. It's just you never know what might happen. That's what you want to go with. And I think, yeah, you add an element of surprise to the All-Star game, a level of, like, if you do that once where Steph Curry comes off the bench.
Can you imagine?
Every All-Star game after that, everyone's going to be looking around. What's going to be the thing?
Exactly.
What's going to be the big event?
Who's going, like, to show up?
That, and that's going to turn your eyeballs to it. So I like that idea. I like that, just turn it into like a sense of a wrestling event.
Feel free to steal that and use that in that little morning show you do there.
Yeah, I will, yeah, on Morning Roast, my weekdays, 6 to 10 a.m. with Spadoni and Shasky, which is going really well, by the way. They've gotten off to a great start.
Yeah, how are things?
It's been a lot of fun with this new edition of the Morning Roast. So they've been cooking, and, you know, it's unfortunate that we don't have Bonte with us. He's with us in spirit and on Fridays from 9 to 10. But, no, it's been going great so far. So very happy for how that's going. Big shout-out to Spadoni for stepping up like he has and rising to the moment. Much like how Draymond Green did not quite rise to the moment in the skills competition last night. I didn't really even watch the skills competition. I think the skills competition, it's like, of all the All-Star events, that's when, like, we can just not do that anymore. I don't care who can dribble around a cone, pass through a hoop, you know, who can rebound and lay up. Like, we don't need to see that. But see a Draymond whiff three times on that hoop there in the final of that skills competition, that was just too funny to watch.
Yeah, and leave it to me to take it a little bit further, that, and I should probably leave it alone, but sometimes in crunch time and in those moments, and I get it, it's a skills competition, it's All-Star Weekend, it means nothing, but crunch time is crunch time. And if you watch Draymond Green, yes, Draymond Green, and I am going to make this analogy, that sometimes in big games, the ball in his hand, his butt cheeks get a little tight. And he sometimes is a little bit, I don't mean to make some sort of carryover from last night to Draymond Green and in big games, because he's, you know, he's a future Hall of Famer, but sometimes he can get a little squirrely. And it was coming down to, you know, they were trying to beat the clock and beat Cleveland. Right, it was Donovan Mitchell and was Mobley that had set the time, and Moses Moody just ran through that thing, and so it came down to Draymond. It's like, Draymond, if you can just do this under, like, I don't know, something like 40 seconds, which is obviously doable, but lack of a better term, you get nervous. I don't know. Is that a good omen going forward for one of your best players? Should it be a Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals?
Ooh, that's
making something out of nothing.
That's a big evil right there.
It's always a fun game.
It is always a fun game with Draymond Green there. Yeah, it's one of those things. You know what? I'd be kind of curious. I'm sure Draymond would tell you he was only so locked into that thing. Because again, it's this. No one. 3 days from now, if Moses Moody and Draymond Green win the skills competition, is anyone even remembering it?
I'm a little tongue-in-cheek here.
I know, we're always tongue-in-cheek with that one. But yeah, it was kind of funny seeing that happening. And that's what it is. Like, All-Star Saturday Night, it's about laughs, about smiling. You know, let's not take it too seriously. But then, you know, it's just, every time, though, it's, this is a terrible dunk contest. This is always boring. This is terrible. It's like, I don't know, it's, Listen, it's not. Is it the greatest All-Star event? No, the Home Run Derby is probably a little bit more fun than anything that happens on the All-Star Saturday night. But part of that is, I think, just what used to be one of the great events of All-Star Saturday was the dunk contest. And it's, you know, Stephon Castle. You had Andre Jackson Jr. out of Milwaukee. Who was the guy on Chicago? I'm not even going to try his name. I'm going to botch it. And then it was Mac McClung. And the fact that, yeah, your big star is a guy who you only see once a year, that's not that great. We obviously love to see more stars. And John Morant was tweeting out after the game that, oh, man, we're seeing Mac McClung. I might have to do this next year. And then Giannis, who did this all the dunk competition, I want to say back in, like, 2013, 2014, before we even knew who he was, before he was Giannis. You know, he was in one of those, I think, those Zach LaVine dunk contests, who another guy who I'd love to see back in the dunk contest. But Giannis tweeted out, if you do it, I might have to do it. And so maybe last night, Mac McClung, you know, did he save the dunk contest? I'm not going to go that far, but Mac McClung, he kind of turned some heads yesterday. I think people are starting to realize, like, man, if this little G-leaguer could start winning this event, we might need to take this event back. I don't know. Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but.
Well, there's something about smaller guys that always looks cooler, right? Because their verticality or their vertical leap is much higher, right? So it looks better when they're jumping over cars. Spud Webb, just to go way back in the day, Spud Webb was like 5'7",
yeah.
I think, and he won a slam dunk contest, and the world just went nuts.
Well, remember Nate Robinson?
Oh, that's
the,
right.
I think it was the 09 dunk contest where, well, I guess you need some backstory. First, Dwight Howard.
Yeah,
get my Dwights mixed up here. Yeah, he dressed up as Superman. Yeah. Remember, he raised the hoop up a few feet. Obviously, usually these hoops are 10 feet. I think he jacked it up to 14 feet. Went and put on the cape and did the dunk, which, like, that's cool. Like, the pageantry of that, like, make the dunks exciting. Like, when you're just going up and just doing just a regular slam dunk, like that's cool and whatnot, but when you put some flair behind it, those are the ones that are
Cedric
truly memorable.
Cedric Ceballos back in the day put on blindfolds.
Oh, I didn't know. I missed this one. When was that? Which year was this one?
God, it was way back in the day, but they had the blindfolded, which was, you know, that's unique because the props are getting sort of played, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many things you can jump over. But I think Mac McClung is just, first of all, he's a white dude, and let's not... Not to play the race card, but I think that there's an element of sort of interest there. And the fact that he's what, 6'2", I want to say,
yeah.
Maybe? 6'2"? It always looks cooler when you get the small little point guard getting up like that.
Well, that's the thing. So then the next year, when Nate Robinson jumped over Dwight Howard to win that All-Star game, first the fact that Dwight was a good enough sport to do that. And remember, Nate, he dressed in all green, too, and he had the green ball because he was going to be Superman's kryptonite. Like, stuff like that. Like, that, give me more of that. So who's the guy? I was the guy in Chicago here. I just had his name here. I want to have his name in front of me because it was Matas Buzelis. Hope I said that right. His first dunk of the night, I actually liked what he was doing there. He's going to try and bounce it underneath his leg and then kind of get the one-hand slam in from behind. I liked what he was doing there.
He missed that.
He couldn't connect on it, though. So
and
he
moved
up,
on. Yeah.
He ended up getting a 40 on that. And then Andre Jackson Jr. went after that. He couldn't get his dunk done, so what he did is just did a normal dunk, which was, like, not that exciting. But then Mac McClung going right to the Kia in the first round, a la Blake Griffin. And that was really cool, too. I thought the more impressive one was the one he did at the end where he jumps up, grabs the ball, and then taps the front of the rim and then slams it down. Like, that's really crazy.
Well, my only question for that is, like, when you see it in real time, you're like, okay, wait, I got to see the replay because we know he did something funky. How does that translate in a live audience? Because we're always so reliant on the replay. So you got to watch it on the big board, but don't you want something sort of in the moment?
That's true, yeah. And that's where kind of like the stuff like a Dwight Howard or Nate Robinson, that kind of hits a little bit harder. But it's still impressive nonetheless, though. Or the other one he did where he had the guy spinning around on the hoverboard while holding the ball. He grabs the ball with one hand, and then you talk about needing the replay. I didn't realize this
was
the first
ball.
Play. There was another ball he threw in, too, which I didn't realize until I saw the close-up replay. So, yeah, that's a good thing to bring up. Like, if you don't see it all, how it kind of comes together on that first try, does that change it? I guess, but I think that just shows just how complicated some of these dunks can be and just how unique some of them can be, the fact that you don't see it on the first try. it's still pretty impressive nonetheless, seeing what some of these are done. And again, is the dunk contest the amazing event that it used to be? I mean, I think there's two ways to look at it. One, I mean, there's only so many ways you could dunk a basketball.
We had
Jason Richardson on the Morning Roast on Friday, and that's kind of what he was saying, is just like, you know, there's only so many ways you could dunk a basketball. One, and then two, like, you know, these big-time stars, they just don't have time, really, to kind of, like, you know, if we all want to see Giannis do the dunk contest, but, like, Giannis got games to play. He's got practice. He's banged up. Like, he's trying to carry a team to a title. When's he going to find time to just, like, go to the lab and cook up four or five dunks that he can use in a dunk contest? Where, Mac McClung, you're in the G League, like, okay, you got to play, like, what, 5 minutes a night, and then you're good to go? Like, I don't even know what Mac McClung does in the G League. So, you know, there's a disconnect there, but I feel like that's kind of why in the last few years, last 10 years or so, the dunk contest has lost its shine. You've seen kind of the opposite with the three-point contest, where that kind of became the cool event to win, which makes sense. I mean, the last 10, 15 years has been the age of the three-pointer here in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of curious where, as we kind of see, as the eras change in basketball, we're kind of entering a new era where the bigs are starting to kind of make a comeback here. You know, the big men matter again, and they're starting to hit threes, too. And so I kind of wonder that, you know, like Victor Wembanyama, I'm kind of curious if we'll see him in a dunk contest someday. So,
A three-point shooting contest?
Or in the three-point shooting, too. Maybe he could do both. I mean, wouldn't that be something, winning two events in one weekend? So I kind of curious as, you know, we enter this new era of the NBA where bigs are kind of coming more in vogue again, if we'll start to see them do the dunk contest and get more star power into this dunk contest. Because when you got the best three-point shooters in the league year in and year out, whether it was, you know, from Kyrie to Steph to Klay to Dame, who also, Dame Lillard, he took part in the three-point contest last night. When you're seeing the best three-point shooters in the league doing the three-point contest, you're going to lean forward a little bit more for that one. When you're seeing a bunch of who's it's, what's it's doing in the dunk contest, and again, it's no disrespect to the dunks that were done there. There are some great dunks, but like, I'm sorry, like, if no one knows what Stephon Castle looks like. Maybe now they do. I mean, he's got the dreads, so that makes him easy to point out. But Andre Jackson Jr., if he walks around Union Square right now, no one's going to either be like, oh, he's tall, but no one else going to notice anything. Like, you know, so it's when you don't have that recognition there in the dunk contest, that's going to kind of fade away from it, too. So who knows? Maybe Mac McClung kind of woke something up last night. Maybe 3 years in a row of the white kangaroo bringing home the greatest prize in all of basketball dunking. That'll kind of compel these NBA stars to take their league back from these young G Leaguers.
Yeah, well, I think I provided the answer, and I think that they need to go with it.
A little bit of surprise here. I like that. We'll get into more of that on the other side. 888-957-9570. I want to get into just any other ideas that people have for the All-Star Weekend, whether to make the Saturday night events more fun, the Rising Stars, the game itself. There are no bad ideas. 888-957-9570. We want to hear from you. And then also on the other side, why I think the NHL figured out something last night to bring a lot more attention to their games. It's not the reason that you think. It might work for the other leagues. We'll see. I'll tell you on the other side. Dan Devone, it's Sam Lubman. More from you. It is 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
And this Four Nations face-off matchup is underway. And the gloves are off. Kachuk and Brandon Hagel from Tampa Bay, Kachuk from Florida. Did not see this coming.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Sean McDonough on the call there for ESPN last night as Team USA and Team Canada faced off in the Four Nations face-off as the NHL this year in lieu of an All-Star game, which usually takes place, I believe, the weekend before the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, the NBA takes the weekend after the Super Bowl. In lieu of an All-Star game, they are splitting their All-Stars into four teams, Team USA, a Team Canada, a Team Sweden, a Team Finland, and they're just having a little mini four-team tournament. The championship game will be this Thursday. Team USA has clinched a spot, so I believe Canada will be playing against Sweden later this week. USA will be playing Finland, and if Canada wins, we will get a rematch in the championship game. But Last night, that was Matthew Tkachuk and Brady Hagel getting into it right at the start. And that got everybody leaning forward for that game. Dan, there were three fights in the first 9 seconds. Almost got the times mixed up there. Nine fights in 3 seconds would be insane. But three fights in the first 9 seconds of that game last night. And while, you know, the NBA All-Stars were, you know, passing through hoops and shooting three-pointers, everybody was talking about this hockey game. Team USA won 3-1. The first time that Team USA has beaten Team Canada with Sidney Crosby on the roster since 2010. They got to go to the Vancouver Olympics preliminary rounds when Team USA beat Team Canada 5-3 up in Vancouver. I'm sure everyone remembers that game like it was yesterday. But which got me thinking, you know, that might be the way to fix all your all-star problems right there. If you want people to pay attention, just have a fight at the start of each game, right? Like,
so, well, I've always wondered, so hockey goes back and forth on the fighting. Like, is it good for sport or bad for sport? I remember when they got the Fox contract, and so that they were being nationally televised by United States Network. I know they're on ESPN, but they were on Fox. And a lot of people felt as though in the negotiation process, because I was working at Fox at the time for Fox Sports, that basically it was sort of this spoken but unspoken contract between the two that we've got to mitigate the fighting. Like, I know it's a Canadian thing, but here in the United States, when it comes, if you really want to knock on the door and challenge baseball, MLB, the NFL, and the National Basketball Association, you got to stop dropping the gloves every 10 minutes. So is it good for sport, or is it something that's damaging? Or do you think that it can, in an exhibition or in an all-star sort of game, in that sort of surrounding, it can light the sort of fire that's been lacking when it comes to the NBA?
See, I think it's the latter there. I think it's, you know, I've been kind of watching a lot more hockey this year. I've been kind of reactivating my San Jose Sharks fan card here this year. Obviously, the presence of Macklin celebrating is a big part of that. And also just these Sharks games have been, even though they haven't been very good, the Sharks still sit right now at the very, very bottom of the National Hockey League standings right now. So they are very much playing for a top three pick again. But their games have been a lot more exciting this year. And yeah, I have noticed a lot more fighting. And I've learned this year that sometimes in hockey, guys will literally just like go up to a faceoff, be like, "Hey, fight me! I need to get this crowd going. I need to get my team going here." There was a game on the back of January. The Sharks were in Nashville taking on the Predators. I think this game was in San Jose. This one was in San Jose, and they had just lost 7-5 to the Predators a couple nights earlier. So they come back home on that Thursday night to play the Preds. The Preds get off to like a quick 3-0 start. And then about, you know, 7-8 minutes in, then you had three fights in a row started by the Sharks. It was just simply guys looking over and be like, "Hey, this crowd's dead. My team's lifeless. I need to fight you right now to get these guys fired up." And the other player will be like, "Let's do it." Like, that's just how the culture is in hockey. It was something I didn't know. I was texting a friend of mine and I was asking him, just like, you know, like, "Dude, is this normal?" He's like, "Yeah, pretty much. You know, hockey's weird that way." I'm like, "Oh, okay." Like, yeah, I don't need to argue with it. It's just like
kind of like a manager getting kicked out of a game.
Exactly. Yeah, it's like the manager going out or Steve Kerr going out and getting a technical to fire guys up. Like, this is the way to do it. So, you know, maybe tonight after tip off, if LeBron and Wemby need to square up really quick and just kind of throw a couple haymakers, yeah, that'll probably get people excited. You know, you think Major League Baseball's All-Star game would be a lot more exciting if Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani threw a couple right hooks at each other on the diamond, and it's like, "All right, let's go play baseball now."
Yeah, so I think the closest
NHL figured it out.
Major League Baseball has come to something like that might have been, God, I don't even know when this was, but when Ray Fossey and Pete Rose had the collision at the plate.
Ooh,
and
it essentially was 76, I want to say,
ruined,
right?
Ray Fossey's career, mm-hmm. basically. But that's the only way Pete Rose knew how to play. And that just sort of, because I think that's the last bastion, right? And when you think about all-star games, it's up to Major League Baseball, because that's the only one we tune into. And even though that's been devalued over the last couple of years, or last 15 to 20 years, it's not what it was when I was growing up, but it's still, in terms of watching a game where people actually care, I think it's Major League Baseball, and that's about it.
No, I feel like it's because Major League Baseball is the easiest game you can kind of do as an exhibition, because I mean, obviously football, it's you're hitting guys every single play. The risk of injury is so apparent. Like,
football is feast or famine. You're either going all in or don't do
you
it can't, at all.
Yeah, there really is no middle ground there. Like, I remember when I used to play back in high school, you'd say, you know, the best way to get injured is not play full speed. You know, because if you're going 60%, the other guy's going 100%, yeah, that's a great way to get hurt. And well, I forget what year it was. It was one of the last years the NFL was actually taking the Pro Bowl somewhat seriously. And when I say somewhat, I mean just J.J. Watt. And it was, you know, every play it was 21 guys kind of doing whatever, and then J.J. Watt going full speed, and everyone just being like, J.J., what are you doing? Stop. And, like, it was, and of course, he won the Pro Bowl MVP that year, I believe. But
did you hear Pajemski after the Rising Star game last night?
No, what did he say?
He basically said and echoed that sort of sentiment. He's like, you know what? None of these dudes are really taking it that serious. Mm-hmm. You know, Pajemski is Pajemski, regardless if it's an exhibition, Rising Star, All-Star game. He's going to go. He only has one speed. And so he intimated, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's like, yeah, some of us take it more serious than others. So that's not a good sign if I'm relying on the Rising Stars and the kids to save the NBA All-Star game. Yeah. But it's interesting because I think Pajemski is one of those guys that wanted to play to win, to advance, and get into tonight's round. But apparently not everybody was on board.
Well, he's kind of a rare breed in that he is an all-go kind of guy. And, you know, this is where how you find that extra motivation. Like, those are those All-Star games I used to watch as a kid growing up. They all had Kobe Bryant in them. And growing up, I'll be like, as a Warrior fan, I hated Kobe Bryant so much growing up. Because he would just do these just awful, horrific things to my Warriors. Like, that guy just had incredible games all the time, it seemed like, against the Warriors. And I learned later on, like, 7,
but the Warriors weren't even good.
Well, no,
then.
I think, yeah, the Warriors weren't good. But again, Dan, I'm 8 years old here. I'm only so locked into the league at the time. We didn't have League Pass at the time. But it just seemed so unfair that Kobe had Shaq, too. Like, oh, I hated those Lakers teams so much. I remember, you know, complaining to my dad one day. It's like, Dad, why can't Shaq play for the Warriors? You know, like, they deserve him. And it's like, and that's why I learned about how, you know, no, Shaq has a contract and can't get out of it and would never, ever want to come play for this team in that situation, which at the age of 7 absolutely devastated me.
Well, it's interesting when we talk about J.J. Watt and Pajemski and how those guys are wired. It doesn't matter whether it's at the local YMCA, NBA Game 7 of the NBA Finals, or if it's an All-Star game. Kobe only knows how to play one way.
Exactly, which, and that's, we don't have that presence really anymore because who are the big, like, Kobe was the leader of the league back then at the time. It was, you know, him, you know, Dirk was one of those guys, Tim Duncan is one of those guys that, like, you know, I always remember, but Kobe set a tone like no other. Did you watch the Redeem Team doc on Netflix? Well, there's so many docs on Netflix, first off. It's impossible to watch them all. So if you haven't watched them, you or anyone else, it's totally okay. There's so many docs that people like, hey, have you watched this one? Have you watched that one? And it's always a no, I have not. But the Redeem Team doc was all about that, you know, 2008 USA men's team that went to Beijing and won gold. And I believe that was the only Olympic team that Kobe Bryant played on. And the whole story is, it starts off the story, the first 20 or so minutes, it's about how, you know, that team kind of came together. And you're thinking like, oh, this is about how that 2008 team redeemed itself, basically. But then about the 20-minute mark, they're telling a story about how they're working out in Las Vegas and guys are coming back from a night on the town and they bump into Kobe in the lobby of the hotel at like 4 in the morning and he's going to the gym to get some shots up. And everyone just kind of looks around. It's like, oh, okay. And then the next day, a couple more people are going to the 4 a.m. workouts with Kobe and then a few more people. And then before you know it, the entire team's showing up at 4 in the morning to get their work in because we're trying to win a gold medal here. We're not here to have fun. And Kobe set that mentality. What was the first game against, not against China, against Spain, where he just clotheslines Pau Gasol, who was his teammate at the time. And you just don't have a guy right now who sets that kind of tone. Like, you look around, who are the big leaders of the NBA right now? Steph, LeBron, Kevin Durant. Like, those are your seasoned vets. Maybe Giannis is in there too. Like, those guys, when they go out there, and this is not, I'm not trying to, you know, crush them or anything, but LeBron's not setting that kind of tone in the All-Star game. He's just going out to have fun with his friends. Steph, you know, the way Steph plays, you know, he doesn't have that I'm going to just destroy you style of play that
he's
Kobe
the
Bryant
ultimate
had.
Entertainer.
Oh, he is. He's incredible. Like, what Steph is fun, though, what makes Steph fun in the All-Star game is when he's just cranking half-court threes. We love that, but that's not going to set a tone of let's try hard on defense. And I feel like right now the NBA just, they don't have a guy who's going to go out there and just ball out in a way that makes everyone's like, oh, well, I mean, if LeBron's going hard, maybe I definitely got to go hard. You know, if this guy's, you know, playing hard on defense, then I definitely got to play hard on defense. Just no one is really setting that tone there, and I don't know how you kind of find someone to kind of be that kind of tone setter in the All-Star game.
You know, quick Kobe story. I was doing an NBA pregame show in LA when they were playing in the old Staples Center. And so we had to get there early and set up, right? Our camera crew was not familiar with LA. And so we had to, like, you know, make sure the lighting. And so my producer asked, what's the earliest we could access the Staples Center? And the game tip was at, what, 7, 7:30 out there in LA. And so we got there maybe, I don't know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. No one's obviously there. And I mean, you know, there's people aren't even, the janitors aren't even there. And so we're setting up and just seeing running cord cable out to the live truck, all that sort of stuff that they got to do. And they asked me if I would come just to go through a bit of a walkthrough and a rehearsal. Guess who's jacking up shots? I kid you not. And he's there by himself. There was,
sorry,
even,
say again, what time was the end that you got
this
in
is
there?
This might have been 3:30 in the afternoon. So, I mean, the players,
4 hours before tip.
Players haven't even arrived. Buses aren't even, there's guys aren't even getting taped. The concessions aren't even open. And he's getting up shots.
He's got Staples to himself, basically.
And I remember he was getting up shots that one of my tech guys, because we were waiting around, a lot of what it is that we do is you got to troubleshoot. And he asked, Kobe said, hey, can you rebound for me for a little bit? Because he didn't even have anybody there to retrieve the ball for him. And he was just shooting. And one of our tech guys was like, you know, giving it rebounds and throw it back to him.
Oh, that would be so cool.
But, you know, that really is to hear the Kobe stories, but then to see it, you're like, yeah, dude, you're wired differently. This is really.
And that's why it got to a point where, as a Warrior fan, as a Bay Area fan, you grow up, you hate LA teams. That's just how it is here when you grow up in the Bay Area. Like,
Dodgers suck.
The LA Kings suck. Like, Jonathan Quick, oh God, I hate him so much. You know, all the players on the Ducks, they suck too. Corey Perry, shout out to you.
Ask your old man with Tommy Lasorda those guys.
Oh, I don't need to ask my dad. I am well versed in the ways of the devil. Rest in peace, Tommy Lasorda. One of Tommy the great all time villains in Bay Area sports. That's what I hated him up until the moment he passed. But at the same time, it's just like, thank you, Tommy. Like, we need guys like you in sports. Like, whatever you were in LA, you were the opposite here. And as much as I hate you, thank you for that. There got to a point there with Kobe where it's just like, you have to recognize the greatness. Like, you have to recognize when someone is just so freaking dang good, you have to stop hating them. Like, it was for me, Tom Brady was that same moment. Like, when he came back from 28-3, that Super Bowl, you know, Dan, we did a show over the summer. You know, what was the moment you realized you were wrong on something? Like, that was the moment I realized my entire opinion of Tom Brady was wrong. Like, this is not a villain who is never going to be better than Joe Montana. This is a legend who has just grabbed the title of GOAT and just ran with it. And from that moment on, it's like, I need to appreciate what this guy does, because I don't think I truly learned to appreciate the greatness of Kobe Bryant until it was too late. And that's why I came to a point, like, same with LeBron James. There was a time where I despised LeBron because he was the Warriors' rival. But now it's like, yeah, he's 40 years old, Dan, and he's playing at a level where he's still a top five player in the league. Like, he's 40 years old, and we still just expect LeBron to be as great as he is, and he does it. Like, you have to acknowledge the greatness there. So it would be great to see LeBron kind of set that tone. It's probably not going to happen. Maybe one of these younger guys can kind of set that tone. Maybe these G Leaguers tonight, when they take on the OGs in that second game, you know, if these OG, these young kids, if they go out and they take it to these OG All-Stars here, they're going to be hearing about it on Monday.
When you say kids, you're talking about Kenny Smith's team, or you're talking about Candace Parker's team. Yes, Candace, the Rising Stars.
Yeah, sorry, I should be more specific. Candace Parker's Rising Stars roster, which has Stephon Castle of the Spurs, Ryan Dunn of the Suns, Zach Edey of the Memphis Grizzlies, Keontae George of the Jazz, Dalton Knecht of the Lakers, not the Hornets, Jalen Wells of the Grizzlies, and, of course, our boy, Trayce Jackson-Davis. I'm going to say him last every time I read off the rosters because I like to
say
you got to
hang your hat on those guys. They're the only ones that, again, they don't know that this is just an entertainment and a show, and it's an exhibition.
And what a statement that would be if those young guys I mean, it's probably not going to happen, but
maybe. All they need to do is light a fire, though. Mm-hmm. All they need to do is set the tone and get out to a lead or play hard.
Force these guys to have to play catch-up? Yeah.
Whereas My only concern is that if they're one and done in the first round, and then it's just left to the All-Stars, albeit whether it's the international All-Stars, the OGs, or the young guys, it's going to get right back to where we were last year.
Kenny Smith has the young All-Stars, you know, Anthony Edwards, Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm not going to go the whole roster again. Yeah, if that final game is Team Candace versus Team Kenny, it's a bunch of guys who, you know, none of them are old enough to rent a car legally. I'd be kind of curious as to what the ratings are going to look like, which I don't. Maybe that'd be a good thing.
No, that's the next best thing.
Because the league right now is in a situation where we're talking about who could be the tone setters, and you know we got a trio right now of Steph, KD, and LeBron. Who I love them. I'm a big KD. I'm wearing my Kevin Durant jersey today, because I just I got some Kevin Durant sound I want to play a little bit later in the show. But we got a trio there that's just like, as successful as they have been, they have not set the tone of this is how you handle the All-Star game. Which, if that's the worst thing we're saying about them, then we're doing pretty good here. But, yeah, if it is, you know, the G Leaguers versus the young guys, the young All-Stars, if we're looking for the next face of the NBA, like, that's where you're going to look for it, right? Is in that game?
Well, I think the next face of the NBA, and this isn't about nationalism or wrapping myself in the flag, but it's they got to find an American. I was reading an article, and I mentioned this to Evan Wars this week, that you know who the most popular professional basketball player is under the age of 30? It's Caitlin Clark.
Oh, wow. I was going to try and name some names, and I would never have gotten Caitlin
it's
Clark.
LeBron, as you mentioned, LeBron, Steph, and KD, they're in their sunset years, right? They're walking off. And so who is it that you pass the mantle down? Wemby clearly is the next rising star. So is Luka. But just from
being in L.A., that's going to be a huge bump, too.
But just from a consumer standpoint, they have to find an American that people can gravitate to. And I don't know who that might be. I mean, there's some potential there, Anthony Edwards, and there's some guys, but that I think is sort of a concern when we talk about big picture and sort of the underlying reasons why viewership and some of the numbers are down as far as the NBA, even though they just got that like $30 billion contract.
Well, I think there's a couple of factors here that I think will play into who that next face will be. I do agree. I do think it has to be an American player. I mean, we're seeing right now, you know, Shohei Ohtani has taken over the baseball world. It's like stomach the vomit just by saying that. He's becoming a major international star, but baseball's always had international stars. I mean, Albert Pujols ran that league for most of the 2000s. You know, Sammy Sosa was once a really popular player as well. This league is, Major League Baseball has had international stars before, so that's been fine. NFL, obviously, never really goes there. Hockey, it's all international stars. But yeah, the NBA, who's been the most popular before these last few years? Who's probably been the most popular international star? Is it Dirk?
Giannis?
Yeah.
Dirk. Oh, you mean prior to?
Yeah, just prior to this core we have Dirk. Right now. Yeah, it was probably Dirk, right?
Yeah.
And he only got the one championship late in his career. I mean, God, what if he had won in 07, what that could have done for his career. But no, too bad, we believe. But yeah, you look at the crop right now. I mean, Nikola Jokic is just, he's boring. Like, he's really good, but he's boring.
Well, he's the best player on the planet.
Yeah, he is. But I do think it's, part of it is, yeah, I don't know if it could be a
Cooper Flagg?
Could it be Cooper Flagg? That's true. But I think the market matters too. Like, Kevin Durant was always a great player, but he hit another level when he came to the Warriors in terms of just his overall superstardom cachet. LeBron, obviously, he was big time in Miami, and Cleveland was, he made Cleveland a big market. Steph made the Warriors a big market. Anthony Edwards in Minnesota, like, come on, man. Like, Kevin Garnett was a great player. His stardom hit a new level when he went to Boston, though. So, like, as great as Ant is, I just don't think your face of the league could be in a small market like Minnesota. Cade Cunningham, another great player on the rise. Like, I think he's won, like, 43 total basketball games in his career because he's just been on
Detroit's the sixth seed right now.
I know, they're actually having a really good year this year. It's and without James Wiseman, too, which is crazy to think. But yeah, I mean, Detroit's finally on the up and up. But like, come on, when's the last time anyone's paid attention to Detroit as a basketball market? Like, so I do think, and you're going to see it in a couple years, you know.
But is that sort of the I think it's also the strong suit, because I know you're a big baseball guy, and baseball obviously has an issue because they're so top heavy.
Yeah.
It's the Dodgers, it's the Yankees, and then it's everybody else.
Yeah.
Like it's how is that sustainable? Like the Dodgers get
everybody. Well, I think the NBA works as being top heavy though, because a few players
But they're not top heavy, because you just mentioned that Giannis is in Milwaukee, the Joker's in the small market in Denver.
That's the
thing. So there's a balance there. Same with the NFL. The Green Bay Packers are always relevant. You get these small Kansas City, for crying out loud.
Well, and the NFL's a little bit different. You know, the NFL, I mean, yeah, Kansas City, where that has, like, I think 47 people living there. I don't even know if they have internet in that town, but it's become a football mecca now. But the NFL is a little bit different. I mean, Buffalo was a big football market for a minute. Like, but with basketball, I feel like your biggest stars have to be in your biggest market. So 3-4 years now, when, you know, Anthony Edwards is in Miami and Paolo is on the Warriors, and you got Luka in L.A. now, and, you know, we'll see where Jalen Williams ends up on. Will he go to New York? Will he go to Boston? You know, maybe that will kind of juice some of these guys up to where they can kind of be that face of the league. But yeah, it's at a point where the market matters in the NBA. And I just think it's going to be so hard to have the number one face of the league be in like Minnesota or in OKC. Like LeBron was kind of a special case in how he turned Cleveland into a big market, but then he left and Cleveland struggled, and then he came back and they were great. And Cleveland's just now getting back to where they're kind of really kind of put LeBron James in the past now. They got their own, you know, great young team that looks very much heading for an NBA Finals run right now. So that's kind of a rare occurrence. But I think, yeah, it's when you get some, and it sucks for these small market teams too. The Warriors used to be one of those small market teams that, you know, stars didn't want to go to. But I do think that's just kind of the reality of the NBA, where your big names need to be in big markets, getting that big attention, winning championships there. Like, because Giannis, he won in Milwaukee, and he's a major star. Don't get me wrong. Is anyone looking at Giannis as the face of the league?
No,
it's not. And even still, Milwaukee's still struggling to hold on to him. Yeah, I think his eyes are still looking elsewhere, because we still keep talking about the Warriors going after Giannis. So it's something that the NBA is going to have to figure out. And if we can get a matchup of Team Candace and Team Kenny tonight, in this third period or the championship period, I don't know, maybe someone does something there where it's like, all right, maybe you're the next guy. And hopefully it's Anthony Edwards, because if, you know, Stephon Castle comes out as the MVP of this whole thing, great for him, great for the Spurs. I don't think it is a great thing, though, for the NBA as a whole. So we are up against it here. We got two more hours to go, a lot of basketball talk to get into. I'm kind of curious, as we hit All-Star Game weekend, I want to hear some All-Star Game memories. You know, I want to see 888-957-9570. Call in. I want to hear your favorite All-Star Game moments. You can text us, too, on the text line as well. We'll start trying to read those texts off a little bit in this next segment. But I want to talk about just some fun All-Star Game memories, see if anyone wants to share those. And then Draymond Green was talking after the All-Star Game practice yesterday at Oracle Arena. He had some thoughts at what's going to come next after the All-Star Game for your Golden State Warriors. We're going to talk about that as well. We are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. I'm Sam Lubman. That's Dan Devone. The guy behind the glass is Cameron Williams. More from you after this break.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.